From NPR News in Washington, I'm Shay Stevens. Two bombs have exploded in the Russian region of Dagestan in the North Caucasus, killing at least 9 people, including a top police official. The BBC says Russia is on high alert after suicide bombers killed 39 people at 2 Moscow subway stations on Monday.
The Interior Ministry in Dagestan says the first explosion was caused by a car bomb at around 8:30 local time. A second bomb went off shortly after on the same street in the town of Kizlyar, just a few kilometers from the border with Chechnya. A ministry spokesperson told the BBC it suspected a suicide bomber may have caused at least one of the blasts. Other reports suggest a police patrol was passing when one of the bombs went off. A top local police official is among the dead.
BBC Sarah Rainsford reporting. G8 foreign ministers have wrapped up their 2-day gathering in Quebec. And as Dan Karpinchuk reports, it ends with a vow to pressure both Iran and North Korea on nuclear nonproliferation.
The issue of Iran dominated discussions on both days. In the end, during a closing news conference in Gatineau, just across the river from Ottawa, Canadian Foreign Affairs Minister Lawrence Cannon said the G8 ministers agreed to remain open to talks with Iran, but also called for more international pressure on Tehran to end its nuclear ambitions. The ministers agreed that the United Nations Security Council, not the G8, is where additional sanctions against Iran should be considered. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said she leaves the meeting heartened by the understanding and support of the G8 countries, but she says she has little hope Iran will change its course. The ministers also discussed North Korea and the threat it poses to global security with its nuclear program, and they urged North Korea to come back to the negotiating table. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
Federal emergency workers are in Connecticut to help with flood control. From member station WNPR, Diane Orson reports, a major rainstorm pounded the state yesterday, the second storm there in a month.
Federal emergency management workers, along with the Army Corps of Engineers, are in Connecticut to assist as small and medium-sized rivers begin to crest. The eastern part of the state has been hardest hit by the storm. Parts of the town of Stonington were evacuated. The city of Norwich is preparing for its worst flooding in 30 years. Peter Boynton is Connecticut's commissioner of the Department of Emergency Management and Homeland Security.
The State Department of Environmental Protection is out doing safety inspections of dams. The Department of Public Health has posted advisories on drinking water, which is something to be careful of in a flooding circumstance.
Larger rivers like the Connecticut River will begin to crest on Wednesday. For NPR News, I'm Diane Orson in New Haven.
And Asian shares are trading lower in Hong Kong, Singapore, and Japan. European shares are trading higher. This is NPR News. A federal court ruling that genes cannot be patented is generating strongly mixed reactions. Some say it's a good thing for patients, but NPR's Richard Knox reports others say it's not so good for biotech companies.
The New York court's decision invalidates patents on 2 genes linked to breast and ovarian cancer. Myriad Genetics is the only company that offers tests for dangerous mutant forms of the genes. Lisbeth Siriani needed the test, and Massachusetts Medicaid agreed to pay, but Myriad refused, saying Medicaid payment was too low. Siriani was happy with the court's decision.
I feel very validated. It's just such a scary concept that one company can decide the fate of so many women and really hold genetic testing hostage.
Myriad will appeal. One patent lawyer agrees with the company that the ruling will stifle investment in genetic testing, but he worries that higher courts may give the decision more sweeping effect if Myriad doesn't get it overturned. Richard Knox, NPR News.
Serbia's parliament is condemning the 1995 massacre of thousands of Muslims in Srebrenica. It is also passing a declaration apologizing for the killings. Bosnian Muslim survivors, however, in Sarajevo say the resolution fails to call the crimes a genocide. Nationalist Serbs say the declaration is unjust and dispute the official death toll. The parliament's vote comes amid Serbia's bid to join the European Union, but capturing former General Ratko Mladic, who led the massacre, and sending him to the War Crimes Tribunal in The Hague is one of the conditions for membership in the EU. I'm Shay Stevens, NPR News, from Washington.